Welcome, everybody, to episode 313 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 25th, 2018. Get the year right this time. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, and we're back at it this week. Apologize out there. We didn't have a show last week. Things just didn't fall into place, but we're back. We have plenty to talk about today. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. Welcome back to you. How's it going?
Did you miss me? Were you disappointed?
I always miss you every day.
Okay, thank you.
And then I send all of our snow your direction, and then you hate me for 3 days because you're buried under 13 inches of snow in the middle of April.
Oh, Monday. It was beautiful Monday. Got to take Smokey to the park. I got to take him to one of our favorite spots. And this Smokey, let me tell you, I mean, we're taking pictures of him, and you don't want to look at us or anybody else. You just look at Smokey. He's a handsome devil.
Handsome dude, for sure. Yes,
so before we get started today's show, go ahead.
I was going to say, Paul the dog is maybe starting to feel his age a little bit for the first time that I've seen, because I think he's 9 now. Yeah. And so just like 2 days ago, he started being a little slow and got a little hitch in his giddy up, as Carrie would say. And so I don't know. We got to try and liven him back up again and figure out what's going on. But
yeah. So before we get started today, shout out to Web Dev Studios, Brad Williams, Lisa Sabin-Wilson, those group of WordPress colleagues out there, some fellas celebrating their 10th anniversary. So this is their 10th year in business. Congrats to them, one of the large-scale enterprise type level WordPress web development agencies that exist in our ecosystem. And they had a pretty cool little virtual party today that they invited a bunch of people to partake in. So that was cool. And if you go to their website, they had this nice post that they published. And there's an infographic as well that sort of highlights some of the milestones the company has had within its 10 years. So congrats to Web Dev Studios and everyone over there involved. And here's to another 10.
Huge, huge ups to the Web Dev Studios team. It doesn't seem like it's been, 10 whole years of everything, but whew. I mean, between the old times of WordCamp Arizona or WordCamp Phoenix and South by Southwest, there's like lots of good memories with Brad and Lisa and everybody. So,
yeah, when someone says WordCamp Phoenix to me, I think of Ice Luge.
I know that's what everybody thinks of,
and I wasn't even there for that. So, that's hearsay memories I have of WordCamp Phoenix. I heard it was a good time.
I really wasn't as bad or as good as I think most people remember it being, or if it was, I totally missed out on like all of the really good or bad stuff. So
that ice luge, I'm going to try that sometime. It's like this ice sculpture, and they pour drinks or shots down the ice luge. So by the time it gets to you, it's nice and cold. I don't know. Sounds like a good time.
Needless to say, that doesn't necessarily set a good tone or expectation for.
It's more of a spring break thing. I don't know.
it is a little bit, but the ice luge was cool. I mean, it really did a good job of like of having the WordPress logo in it and having like WordCamp. I mean, it was a really cool looking thing, and everyone seemed to be enjoying themselves.
We didn't have any code of conduct violations, so that's always the important thing.
That is the important thing.
Speaking of anniversaries, coming up May 27th will be WordPress's 15th anniversary. So 15 years since the first version was released all those years ago. And there's a website set up. I believe it's wp15.wordpress.net. And it's housing a collection of parties that are going on all across the world, hosted by WordPress meetup groups and what have you. And people are putting these events together. And I always enjoy this time of year because if you look on Twitter, I think this year the hashtag is, what is it, WP15. Mm-hmm. And so if you monitor that hashtag on Twitter, you'll be able to see people all over the world having these cool looking birthday cakes. Wapu gets involved. And you see these meetups and these people from all these different nationalities, races, genders. It doesn't matter. It's just all celebrating WordPress. And it's one of the highlights of the year for me. Just from a outside looking in perspective.
it's every year we celebrate, right? Like, it doesn't seem like that long ago. You know, we're talking about the Web Dev Studios folks, you know, 10 years goes by fast, I guess. So are you doing anything? Is there anything happening by you?
I haven't looked into it yet. I'm in particular not doing anything special. I wrote this on Twitter before the show. I was thinking back to WordPress's 10-year anniversary. That was a big one. And I actually went to a local meetup we had, and we were at a bar, and we were celebrating WordPress's birthday. And then on the way home, the alternator in my truck went out. So here I am coasting down the road. The lights are getting dimmer. And it turns out I wasn't able to make it to the highway, but I did make it to a Walgreens parking lot, in which I had to get towed home. So I will never, ever forget that night of celebrating WordPress's 10-year anniversary.
That's funny. Yeah, there's the Janesville, Wisconsin. The Janesville area WordPress users meetup is celebrating. They have theirs belated, though. I don't know what day exactly that theirs is. I see. Yeah, 29th. So I don't know. I might hit that up. Depends on where we're at.
So longtime listeners of the show, or even if you just started earlier this year, may be wondering, well, didn't WordPress just celebrate its birthday? Didn't you guys just like celebrate something? But so it's kind of like two different birthdays. At least that's the way I look at it. There's the sort of birth or the genesis, the idea of WordPress, which was Mike Little's comment on Matt Mulloway's blog post on the blogging dilemma. And then there is the anniversary of the first version of WordPress was released, which I believe was like, was it? Oh boy, I better not get this wrong. I think it was .70?
.72, I thought.
Well, I was going to say .71, but maybe it was .72. But somewhere, .7 something.
But I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to look now.
Oh, there you go. You know, I've noticed now that if you type in when was a certain version of WordPress released in Google, it'll usually give you the result. It'll have it
was .7. You're right. .71 beta.
Thank you very much. Right.
Yeah.
So can you say that again? Say, Jeff, you were right.
Yeah, Jeff, you were right. You are the host of this show, and I am just a lowly co-host. So, you know, as far as everyone is concerned, Jeff, this is you're a real Julius Caesar. This is your place.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh my God, I'm gonna blush.
Always don't, right.
Don't go, hey, come on, cut it back, dude. Cut it back. If you visit the WordPress Swag Store, which I haven't in a while, they do have a special 15th anniversary T-shirt, which has kind of a cool design. And if you use the coupon code CelebrateWP15, it will take 15% off that order and any other order you make all the way through the end of 2018. So a little extra birthday special there for you if you want to buy some WordPress gear on the Swag Store.
The last time that I tried to buy something from the Swag Store, the shipping was like more than the shirt.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'll wait and see until something else happens. And then I think I ended up buying whatever I bought at WordCamp US anyways. To avoid the shipping charges. So.
Yeah, WordCamp US had pretty much a Swag Store in the corner there in the sponsor room, and there's a lot of cool looking stuff there. Like the wood ornaments for Wapoo and the WordPress, I was going to get some of those, but didn't pull the trigger on those. But it looked like they were doing good in sales.
I would assume they had a couple of stations, right? I really like the like black tee that has the big white like the WordPress logo mark on it, because the shirts were super soft and comfortable. And then I didn't like the smaller WordPress logo. I thought the bigger one was nice. Those were nice.
I like the WordPress logo that's made up of like a tag cloud. So there's all kinds of different WordPress words or words associated with it that make up the logo. And, well, we don't want to get into Sway because between all these different conferences, Sway is a topic, you know, that could be discussed. Especially female apparel, but you know, we are not female, so we will not dive into that area of the show today. It might be uncomfortable with that. We got a bunch of other stuff to talk about. For example, plugins hosted on WordPress.org can no longer guarantee legal compliance, which they shouldn't have been doing anyways, but you know, now it's official. There's a guideline or stipulation that's been added to guideline number 9. That says implying that a plugin can create, provide, automate, or guarantee legal compliance is not allowed on the repo. And this is a quote by Mika Epstein. She says that, sadly, no plugin in and of itself can provide legal compliance. And while a plugin can certainly assist in automating the steps on a compliance journey or allow you to develop a workflow to solve the situation, they cannot protect a site administrator from mistakes or lack of compliance, nor can they protect site users from incorrect or incomplete legal compliance on the part of the website. Mm-hmm. And all of that makes sense. And if you think about it, you know, WordPress sites have any combination of themes and plugins, and for one plugin to guarantee compliance, legal compliance with anything, seems like a crapshoot.
Well, especially with GDPR happening and being so prevalent right now, it was an opportunist's dream, really, right? Like, you could jump in and make promises about something that were really hard to deliver on. And no offense to anybody, but, you know, marketing and all that stuff is not easy. And so the verbiage that gets written out that promises the world isn't always necessarily the case or true. So this is the right move. But all that this will do, though, is this will just push all of those plugins onto their own website, into their own store, where they're going to continue to promise the same thing, right? Like, it does solve the problem for, like, the official WordPress.org repository, but the problem will still exist, like, in the world. And hopefully, the folks that are confident enough to promise some sort of legal compliance are forced to put to prove that in some way. Like, I think of, like, WooCommerce or even EDD, which I've been working on a lot for the past few months. Like, there are lots of things that I feel like there's lots of just, there are years of growth where being able to promise some level of accounting or some level of like GDPR or what's the other one? The European
cookie law,
yeah. VAT, those kind of things. Like, to be able to say, like, we are actually doing all of these things to the letter is a huge selling point for folks that need that. So hopefully that market continues to thrive outside of the official plugin repo, because I think that there's a lot of opportunity in that space still. It's just risky, scary.
Yeah, I got a bridge I could sell you for compliance. Anyways, BuddyPress 3.0 Beta 2 has been released. Gee, I wonder if John knows anything about this. This is a significant release. It is. We talked about this before, I think in Beta 1, but it includes a new template pack called, how would you say this?
Nouveau.
Which will replace the BP legacy template packs that were introduced in BuddyPress 1.7 when the idea of theme compatibility came into play. And as the official post highlights, this release is the first time that BuddyPress is utilizing the customizer. So if you check out the customizer, there are now different options to modify the user's navigation area. You can mess around with other options. You can actually configure loops and columns and things of that nature. And in addition to all that, there's about 138 tickets that were closed for this release. Things are looking good for BuddyPress.
It's pretty sweet. The things that are my favorite things that are in this release are the things that hopefully we're not really even talking a whole lot about. Like, this is the first release where we are no longer going to include the old version of BP Press.
That's right.
And the old BP Forums directory, that is just gone now. Because we don't really have any actual data about who's using those old forums, but they've been removed from the UI on new installs for 5 years or something now, maybe longer. So it is unlikely that anybody is using that old stuff. And there's a lot of, like, logistical things that had to happen for BuddyPress to do that. Like, it included all of BB Press in BuddyPress, and it meant that the WordPress.org plugins repository had to support subversion externals and, like, zipping up remote. It was, like, all this stuff that BuddyPress was really the only plugin doing any of that. And so it'll make deployments to .org easier because we don't have a bunch of recursive subversion externals. Not that it was ever a problem in the first place, but it's just simpler now. And there's no risk of anybody accidentally somehow activating the old forums. And it is sort of, it's liberating, I think, to get rid of that old BBPress code in a way. And Nouveau is awesome to have in there, to using the customizer, more performance tweaks and stuff. 3.0 is a good release. Paul Gibbs has been leading the charge for a while. And then Nouveau was mostly iMath and Hugo. And Mercy Me and a bunch of others stepped up to do it. And then we've got the WPCLI stuff got merged in too. So there's like a pretty much almost like mostly full CLI coverage for a lot of the BuddyPress functionalities. So it's a pretty cool release. There's a lot of stuff in there that really came together in the end to make it a cool release.
And just like WordPress, BuddyPress is also in the thick of things when it comes to JavaScript. So the loops members and activity areas now run under Backbone, which I guess provides a smoother experience. And one other thing to note is that this version will remove support for WordPress 4.3 and below. So if you're using WordPress 4.3 and below, I don't know why, but you should probably get that updated, especially if you want to run newer versions of BuddyPress.
It is tough, like the juggling of WordPress versions and PHP versions and plugin dependency versions and all those things is not a fun thing for users or developers or anyone. And it kind of goes to my, I feel like the rant that I probably said a week or two ago is like, it was WordPress always did a good job of protecting users from worrying about what versions of things were running on a server somewhere, always kind of led the charge with accessibility and writing, you know, compliant XHTML, strict standard, you know, markup and everything. And so now that we're feeling all this like old PHP version weight and plugin incompatibility weight and legacy versions of WordPress weight, there's just a lot to feel encumbered by. So, you know, yeah, as much as I wish that everything that we build could support WordPress versions going all the way back to whenever, it's just not reasonable to expect that anymore.
So the WordPress accessibility team is seeking contributors for its handbook project. This handbook project, it's a collection of tips, resources, tools, and best practices. And the goal is to educate users through summaries, articles, and reference materials. And apparently the handbook was created after the accessibility team repeatedly noticed the same accessibility issues cropping up and not really having a central place to point people to learn about them, to stop making those mistakes. So if you're interested in participating in this project, check out the Accessibility Docs channel on Slack, the WordPress Slack instance, where you can ask questions and learn how to get involved, or you can look up and search and check out the WordPress accessibility websites on WP. It's make.wordpress.org. And then from there, you can probably find the accessibility site, or I'll link to it in the show notes, either or. But there you go. Another cool project there.
Accessibility with WordPress is like a uniquely difficult challenge because they're like, it reminds me of like a typical construction project. Like I could turn my camera and I could show everybody out the window right now what's happening where I live and work and all that. But we're tearing up all the water mains. We're ripping out 80-year-old water.
That's what that noise was.
Now all this banging and construction that you may hear outside of my
window. Sounded
like
somebody was putting the podcast through a paper shredder.
Well, that was a different. That was an actual paper shredder that you probably just heard. Okay. Maybe the mic's a little too hot. Sorry, y'all. But accessibility is one of those things that I guess I almost feel like is easier to do at the end. Like if you were constantly trying to repave the road at the same time that you were trying to dig up the road, you're really going to have a bad time and you're going to go back and forth and you're going to see all of these same issues over and over and over again. And it, like back in the day when you used to write a WordPress plugin, you wouldn't always use the GetText API for your strings. You would just type your English words in and not run them through the translations API. And then eventually it kind of became a standard where every string all the time, just run it through and it becomes sort of commonplace. But accessibility standards and stuff change relatively frequently, or at least the best practices do, where I used to be really on top of it. And I used to know them like deep within like my ability to code up stuff, like what was expected of me. And I guess I just don't feel like I do anymore. And so it's not because I don't care, because I actually do care a lot, but I can only care so much about so many things before I just am going to start doing a bad job at something. And so it makes me wonder if, you know, not that it should be pushed off, because we should all do our best to make sure that things are, we do use the right size text. We have good contrast. We use like adequate verbiage for things and everything else. But sometimes it just seems like an unnecessary push and pull, that it might be better off waiting until the end to have someone just go through it and go, oh, this needs this, this needs this, this needs this, this needs this. It's feature complete. The verbiage is mostly settled on. The editorial's done. The colors are done. The design is mostly done. And then someone can come in with an eye for accessibility and go, okay, we need screen reader text here. We need to up the contrast here. We need to increase the size here, and let them kind of roll with it, because there's just so much to consider now.
Sounds a little bit like the approach I think is going on with Gutenberg, but Gutenberg is so much in a state of flux. Like you said, Gutenberg kind of right now is still kind of at the stage of ripping up and repairing the road, you know, ripping up and paving right. The road. But aside from all that, they are applying accessibility fixes as they create them. They're merging them into Gutenberg. But I think the majority of the accessibility stuff will come either near or just before the merge proposal, somewhere around that time.
Because otherwise, like, what's going to happen is a sidebar is going to get refactored or moved or changed, or the way that it gets presented all of a sudden gets rewritten. And like, you put in an accessibility fix for it's like stitching up a leg that just gets chopped off anyways. Like, okay, we fixed it all up, it's all good, and then it's gone. You know, you pave this road, and then you have to dig it up to do it all over again. It isn't the right way to do it. Yeah. Like, sure, sometimes you gotta do something a little bit to make it usable, but for the most part, you shouldn't have to do it over and over and over again.
Your analogy is on point this week. Just so you know, the AMP for WordPress plugin, the XWP Automatic and Google's AMP team, who they've all jointly been developing the AMP for WordPress plugin, have released the release candidate 1. For 0.7. And this release adds native AMP support for all of the default widgets, embeds, and commenting. And notifications will be triggered for posts that contain content with validation errors, or if you use a theme or plugin that adds invalid AMP markup. And one of the cool things about this, theme developers will have to tinker around with this to add native AMP support to their themes, which is the AMP tag. And Weston Reuter was kind enough to leave a comment on the article, which I don't see here, which I don't understand why, because I approved it earlier.
I see it here.
Oh, okay. So it must have been something's wrong. He added some information to the post on how theme developers can add native AMP support to their theme. And I included a screenshot of the AMP demo, the AMP compatible WordPress theme. And as you can see, you can't even tell now that mm-hmm. AMP is running behind the scenes. This is what AMP native is all about, to where you can't even mm-hmm. see that sidebar, that cache, or whatever it is, that weird looking display that used to be for AMP URLs and AMP content. Now everything is there, like the hamburger menu's there. It's mm-hmm. a responsive design. It looks just the way you want it to look if you're the if you were the owner of this site. So mm-hmm. AMP is making huge progress. 0.7 is a huge release, and they're calling for testers. They want as many people to to run AMP 0.7 through its paces before they release an official version. And by the way, if you want to learn more about the AMP project, I highly encourage you, if you haven't, to go back and listen to episode 309 of WordPress Weekly, where I interviewed, me by myself, interviewed Alberto Medina, who is a developer advocate working with the Web Content Ecosystems team at Google, and Weston Reuter, CTO of XWP. And we had a great conversation about, you know, what the Google AMP project is, why it exists. Mm-hmm. Is it not a threat to the open web? Really, we just had a great conversation about AMP. So check all of that out, please. And hey, speaking of Gutenberg, we've got Guten news to talk about. Now, we didn't get a chance to mention this because we weren't here last week, but Gutenberg 2.7 was released, and it added the highly requested ability to edit permalinks, which, I don't know, to some people may be like a breath of fresh air. To others, it's like, finally, you know, why didn't we have this before? So this is just another example of Gutenberg trying to at least get on parity, feature parity, with the current editor instead of WordPress. So you can edit the permalinks now in Gutenberg. There's a new block that was added, the pagination block, so that allows you to break up posts and pages. And there's a couple of things that were changed with the link insertion interface. One of them is that when you highlight text or highlight a link, within the little modal, there used to be a button where you can unlink it. Well, now that unlink button stays in the toolbar. I'm trying to get used to it, but that's one thing that upset me. It's one of the changes that upset me. But they also added the ability to determine whether you want a link to open in a new window or not, which I know was requested and something a lot of people wanted. So, also for plugin developers, I think this will be good news. The plugin sidebar API has been exposed and is considered final. So I think that means you can pretty much go to town now on the plugin sidebar API if you're a plugin developer.
I'm probably not going to, but it's good. It's good to know.
Probably not final. Final, not final.
No, I'm sure it is final. I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. There you go. So there you have it.
What about your iOS and Gutenberg experience, Jeff?
Why? Now you're going to segue me into that?
You know, because at any point in time.
I was building the soapbox and I wanted you to stand on it, but it looks like I'm going to have to stand on my own creation.
I'm going to push you on the soapbox, you know, because I like at any point on any given week, our segue can be speaking of Gutenberg.
Yeah.
And then we just get to go in whatever direction we want to.
So I ran into a situation. I think I described the situation before on the show. But I was pretty much wrote this out in detail with images to show people what happens here. So the WordPress for iOS app, you would think, I thought would be compatible with content written in Gutenberg. So, for an example, I crafted a post and published it that was written in Gutenberg using a couple of different common blocks. And then I used the WordPress for iOS mobile app to access the post, correct a typo, and save it with the goal of seeing if the content is affected by saving it in a different editor. And as it turns out, when I looked at the post in the WordPress for iOS app within its editor, I saw what appeared to be these comment short codes. Now, Gutenberg, with its blocks, they use HTML comments for the markup for the blocks. And what the app was showing me were these sort of comment areas. So I saved the typo, and then I looked at the content on the front end, and everything, all the content was mushed together as if it was just one giant blob of text. So I'm thinking, well, okay, now here I am fixing the typo, but now it leads to me having to fix the entire article. So I log into the back end of WordPress and I check out the post in Gutenberg. And now I see all these different blocks, like the unordered list block and the quote block. They have these warning messages that says, this block appears to have been modified externally. Well, I'm thinking, what does that mean? I mean, I don't know what that means. So there's two different options. I can either edit as HTML or I can convert to blocks. So I figure, well, what the heck? I'll convert to blocks. So I click on the convert to blocks button, and it generally works for all of them except for the quote block. And it turns out the content I had in the quote block disappeared. So now I'm losing content from this switch from using iOS app. Now, thankfully, WordPress has post revisions, and I had already had a revision where everything was the way I wanted it. So I just reverted to a post revision. Mm-hmm. But what this did was sort of provided another example of user experience between Gutenberg and the WordPress for iOS app, where you make an edit, you correct a typo, and you go to the front end, and you're like, oh, my God, what happened to my content? It's a disaster. Mm-hmm. So you go from doing a simple change to now you have to spend who knows how much time reconfiguring your blocks, reordering your blocks, maybe even rewording or retyping content that may have been lost through this change. So it was a pretty frustrating experience. Now, I'll end it by saying that Gary Pendergast, who's one of the lead developers on the Gutenberg project, left a comment and said that the WordPress mobile teams are focused on creating a mobile native version of Gutenberg, and they published a post about their thoughts and plans and ways that they're experimenting with Gutenberg right now. This was back in March, so they're definitely aware of it. And on my behalf, Gary Pendergast created issues both for the Android and iOS apps to redirect editing Gutenberg posts to the site rather than using the mobile editor. So this would avoid having any conflict happen between the editors. So I want to send a shout out to Gary for doing that. But as of right now, please, I highly recommend do not edit or mess with posts in the WordPress mobile apps if they were written and crafted in Gutenberg. Because things will get messed up.
I have a similar problem on my own blog, and I know that it's my own fault because it's probably some plugin that I wrote that I have running there. But every time I go to insert an image block with Gutenberg, I get the same exact broken HTML block. Like, I go to upload the image is in there. If I do the big image and I put my text in and I hit publish, it looks like it's there. But if I refresh the page, then the image is gone and the block is gone. And so I don't know if it's like, it's a multi-site install. I'm a super admin, and so I have allowed tags. Everything is allowed. I don't know what's causing this to happen. I'm sure it's something that I did, and I can figure it out on my own time when I can prioritize it. It's not a priority. This is not a cry for help. This is just me saying that it's not easy to figure out at a glance. Like, I spent 10 minutes like, oh, I'll just look at this quick. I'll find it. And I went, I have no idea what is happening here. I don't understand why this is happening. And I don't even really know where to look anymore. So I will worry about it later. I just won't use Gutenberg to publish these posts, and I'll do it the old way. And so when I read your post, it's hard to, there's like two parts to this, right? There's like wanting to be supportive of your friends and what they're building and what they're doing and what they're capable of, and loving the work and the results and all of that. And I acknowledge that because that's sort of what I want with my own work, right? But at the same time, when a friend of mine brews a batch of beer that tastes like crap, I have to tell them, like, this is not my favorite batch of beer analogy of yours. This is not my favorite, and here's why. People will take that feedback or not. And I think that kind of feedback is easier to deliver in person when you can watch their facial expressions and you can see how they're reacting, and you take it a little bit differently than when it happens online on GitHub or in a track ticket or on a blog or whatever else. But I'm a little afraid of WordPress 5.0 in like a healthy sort of way, I guess. Like, my experience with Gutenberg so far has not been pleasant, and some of the GDPR progress is not what I would expect for it to be. And the PHP version check is also sort of not what I expect it to be. Like, there are a lot of things that are happening in WordPress 5.0 right now that have me legitimately uncomfortable with, like, where things are and how things are going. And this is probably, like, the first time, not to be, like, you know, on the soapbox. I feel like I took over the soapbox for you.
Thank you. No, I was hoping you would. Because I've been hyping this, so please stand up here. Would you like a drink, sir?
This is no. I've got my ginger ale just to try and help my upset stomach. Right, like it. Yes. It's. I feel like it's the first time where I don't agree with the results of the work that have been done, and then I am kind of afraid to provide feedback on the results because I feel like I'm like a wrecking ball coming in because it's the responses are not generally always thank you for the feedback. The responses are where were you 6 months ago? And if you think you can do better, then let's see you patch something yourself. But that's like, that's what bummed me out about contributing to open source 15 years ago. That's why I liked WordPress was because everyone was like, oh, thank you. This is good feedback. Let's work on this a little bit harder. But like the general, I don't know. I mean, it's, and I get that I'm a baby or maybe a little bit more sensitive to stuff like this, but this release cycle has not necessarily been the most rewarding to try and contribute to, I don't think. I mean, at least not for me. Maybe everybody else feels better and that they're, you know, doing the finest work or whatever. But like when I install or look at Trunk right now, I'm really confused about a lot of things that are in WordPress 5.0.
So one of the pieces of feedback I've read in the comments on the Tavern and in other places is that due to all of the, it seems like all of the focus on Gutenberg, that it is sort of put up a wall towards any other progress that the platform is making in other areas of WordPress. Do you see that, or do you kind of feel that way?
I sort of feel like the big wall is putting up a bunch of mini walls, right? Like it's like everyone sees the Gutenberg wall, and so tensions are high, and as a result, everyone is sort of protecting the idea of theirs that still lives on in a place. And so instead of the conversation feeling really constructive and like progress is being made, there is a lot of activity that is not, I don't know what, I don't know what you call it.
We can't work on this. Yeah. We can't even talk about it because look, Gutenberg.
The one that's like hot on my mind that is kind of a specific example, but I don't want to point anybody out because it's, I don't think anybody did anything wrong, but when I was independent for a long time and I work on projects for folks or when I consult and make a WordPress plugin or whenever I do something, it's hard to put on a spec sheet like what feel is. Like how do you budget for making this plugin feel right? What does that mean? You can try and put that into words and say it looks and feels native to WordPress. So you could say that it will have good user experience. So you can whatever else, but that's something different for everybody. And so it's hard to put that in a spec. It's hard to put that in a GitHub issue. It's hard to say on a Gutenberg permalink thing that you click that like it feels right or it feels wrong. And there are so many things right now that feel wrong that it makes it really hard to be productive or constructive, I think. Like you've noticed this with the iOS app or with the Gutenberg, like you click on a thing and it doesn't do what you thought it was going to do. How do you, like, yeah, you can articulate that and say, I did this, I expected for it to do this, and this is what happened instead. But it to happen. Clearly that's how it works. So someone wanted that to happen that way. And this has the best, brightest minds in the world working on it. and this is the best that it can be right now. And so there's a point where providing feedback, someone is mad because you're crapping on their creativity. And then someone, and then if you don't do it, you're not contributing. Like, you get it from both sides now. Whereas I don't think it ever, the other side didn't exist. The negative side, the defensive side, the almost bureaucratic side of it didn't exist. And I don't know if part of it is because WordPress 5.0 is sort of the freeform release. We have lots of contributors. We have lots of teams and sub-teams. There's meetings happening every hour of every day. There's lots of chatter on Slack. There's lots of people contributing. It's great that it is inclusive and that everyone is working on parts and that it is happening. But then when I actually go to use it, I don't know how Gutenberg works, and then it ruins my post content. And then I can't, the GDPR stuff is in there, and I can't make the privacy policy go away, or the links are there now. And so everyone that's on my multi-site blog sees all these GDPR links that, you know, are kind of in the wrong place, that are in weird spots. Like, it seems like a lot of stuff is not just like unfinished, but like in progress, but still committed to core. It's like maybe that's on purpose, and maybe I'm, you know, on the bleeding edge a little bit too much more than I should be, but this is the first release for me almost ever where I am less excited and kind of more concerned than I've ever probably been before. And so I don't mean, you know, be a Debbie Downer on the show and bring you down or anything, but
oh yeah, no, like, sure.
And so I guess like the, you know, so I can imagine, you know, Gary Pendergrast whispering in my ear, what are you going to do about it? Right. Like what do you actually do if you feel this way? And I guess I don't know that all that you can do is, you know, contribute upstream, patch, provide feedback. Blog. Ooh, all you can do is the same stuff you already do.
You could tweet a Twitter thread of all the things you feel. Yeah, that'd be very productive.
I don't think that is productive. There are like, I'll do that about random stuff. I don't really like doing that about WordPress stuff anymore.
Okay, that's a good idea. By the way,
have you looked at the GDPR stuff or the PHP version check stuff at all?
I've been meaning to dive into the GDPR stuff because. Especially the cookie stuff and privacy policy stuff, but I've not actually tried it out yet. I've not actually looked at it yet, so I probably should.
The thing that surprises me the most, like if this was my feature to build, if the GDPR, I guess, feature was mine to try and build, it's weird to think that what is in WordPress trunk right now is not anything that I would do. Like I don't like the verbiage. I don't like the menu placement. I don't like the words that are used. I don't think I like the implementation. It's weird to think because normally that's not how I feel about any of these things.
You get along with those people great in the GDPR compliance channel.
I mean, you know, I try to, they're all working hard. They're all good, nice people. They're all doing their best. But at the same time, I was deep in it in the beginning, and then I can't. I mean, it's my own thing, I'm sure. But when 200 people start talking at the same time, I can't follow. It's just too much. It's overload. I divide by zero. I can't respond to everybody. There's just too much. So I figured I'd come back to it later. And then I came back and went, oh my goodness, I don't know how any of this. How is this going to work? Because I guess, like, again, I would expect for it to be built as a thing that plugins would use. But it's almost built as a thing for only WordPress and not for plugins to use. And so,
well, I mean, I've seen conversations where they're trying to create it so that plugins can hook and filter their way into it. But I don't know if that's actually, you know, if that exists or if that's how it's been built already.
And then, like, the one interesting part, and it's architecturally, like all of the requests for when a commenter wants to request an export of their comment data, when they, in theory, submit their request, they put their email address in, they hit send, and then what happens is WordPress stores that request as a custom post type, which is the only place, I guess, in theory, that it could belong, unless we have more custom database tables to store this information. But the email address of the person who requests this gets stored in PostMeta. And so you can't reliably or efficiently query for that meta value to look for duplicate requests, because you're doing a query up against a table that isn't on an indexed string value. And it's like, I don't know exactly how you would solve that problem or if it will even be a big deal for most WordPress sites. But on a WooCommerce site that has a million products or on a BBPress site that has a million topics and replies, that trying to scan that table to check for a duplicate request is like not the right way to do that. And then as a plugin author, there's no universal registration or way to say, I'm adding user meta for this, or I have customer meta for my store that I have, or I have private message data in my BuddyPress site that belongs to this user ID. Like there's no layer there to let plugins do these things. And, you know, the WordPress of not even 10 years ago, 5 years ago, these things were sort of architected to abstract that away from everyone. WordPress solved that problem, and then plugins got to bolt themselves onto it and use what WordPress provided. And now WordPress is just providing for itself in WordPress 5.0. GDPR, comments, posts, content. Gutenberg, publishing online, not for plugins, really. And the PHP version check is, I don't know, the verbiage is weird. It's weird. There's just like a lot of user-facing things.
We've come up with the jazz artist name for WordPress 5.0. WordPress 5.0, weird.
Weird.
Been, yeah, yeah. Somebody out there.
So I don't know. What do you do? What do you think you do, Jeff?
I don't. I think you just try and hang in there and do the best you can and chime in when you can, or maybe you should just write disgruntled comments on the tavern. That seems to help.
I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Come on, join that exclusive club. Free membership. Oh, thank you. Free membership.
Oh, thank you.
But I don't know. I mean, I think you're. There's probably quite a few people out there who share the same sentiment that you do. So I don't think you're alone in that vein. I don't know what you do. I mean, this is WordPress 5.0 and how it's being developed and all the things going into it is sort of uncharted territory compared to the last 15 years of WordPress development.
It's true. So, it's absolutely true. So
it'll be interesting to see if at the end of all this or at this year's WordCamp State of the Word or whenever, if, you know, we look back and say, all right, well, we tried this and now we're going to tighten the ship and we're going to right. Get back to a little more rigid way of doing things.
And that would be my guess, maybe. Like, it depends on how many people see 5.0 as a huge success or not. But I could see that happening. You know, there's a lot of freedom has been provided for everyone working on 5.0. And so there's a lot of good stuff in it too. So I don't mean to harp on only the things that I'm personally, I guess, accidentally being critical about on a podcast, which I didn't really intend to do, but you know, it's an interesting spot to try and, be supportive and hopeful and not have the bandwidth to contribute to all of these features and the development that's going on and try to help others contribute and learn and still get a feature done in time with largely volunteers. You know, there's just a lot that makes this really not easy. So
You know what you should do? You should just turn some of those dials that are on your shirt, and then things get done.
You know, that's how most music gets made.
I was looking at your shirt, and I'm like, this guy is wearing radio buttons.
Yeah, you know, this is the Roland TR-808. This is a classic piece of machinery.
Man.
This is older than WordPress by, you know, what a 30 years.
What a shirt. Check it out. All right, so we'll end the show on more Gutenberg stuff. Maybe we'll end the show. But I was on the Drunken UX podcast, episode 8, and they had me on. And what did I do? I talked about Gutenberg. So we covered a lot of ground, including why the project was created, our experiences so far, its timeline, pros and cons, resources, and some of the biggest concerns we have of Gutenberg. And we also cover what developers and freelancers need to know about the project. Had a really good time. Host Michael Feenan and Aaron Hill host that podcast. Thank you guys for having me on, and definitely check that out. It's Drunken UX Podcast, episode 8, if you want to hear me. I really don't rant about Gutenberg. I sound really smart, and like I know what's going on that show, so that was pretty cool.
Well, so that's part of the problem, right? Is like to the rest of the world, I will talk about how great that Gutenberg is and how revolutionary it will be for WordPress and all of these things. And so, but when you and I get talking, it's hard to not just gush a little bit about the things that are bothering me. But yeah, I would be the same way. That doesn't surprise me at all. It's it's great for everybody. It's the right thing to do. It's everything. It's just still in an interesting spot.
Mm-hmm. So give me back my soapbox. You've had it enough. Jeez.
It's yours. It's all yours. Break.
I'm going to have to repair it for next week.
It's all yours. Too much soap.
Let's see. Other than that, I don't really have a – I guess I can add this to the show notes, but I don't have a pick of the week. But I guess I could throw this in there. It could be my pick of the week. But Delicious Brains today published a great article on their thought process and methodologies of creating and releasing a WordPress product or a plugin. So the post covers the brainstorming session, code reviewing, ideas, wireframing, and they cover some of the tools and services they use that they rely on for their projects, and I thought it was a pretty cool look inside of a company, sort of the Delicious Brain company, and how they come up with and release a WordPress plugin. So I'll add a link to that in the show notes. I don't know. John, you come across anything cool lately?
I mean, I'm working on a lot of really cool stuff right now, but I don't know that
sugar,
it...
Sugar calendar
sugar, whatever. With sugar, for sugar calendar and EDD, and... I mean, I guess I could talk about it, but that seems like cheating. I don't like using this platform.
Save it for when it is specific. When something is released, and I mention it in the news bit, and then you know
that seems like a better deal.
That's like me opening the door for you.
So here I will again do what I do and go completely out of WordPress scope for my pick of the week. Because Carrie and I are trying to sell our house. And for the first time ever, we were able to take a chip of paint off the side of the house and have the nice gentleman at our local Home Depot perfectly match the paint color on our house. It was the most amazing thing I have probably seen in a really, really long time, because the southern exposure on our house is the front of the house. So it's faded and it's cedar siding. So the wood is all cracked and a little dry. And so, you know, you got to put a coat of paint on it all the time to keep it healthy and covered and whatever else. And so I've really avoided doing it because I know that once you start painting one part, it's going to look like you painted one part, and then you're going to have to paint like the entire rest of the house, which I didn't want to do. And so we didn't. And so finally there's a board or two or three on the front of the house that the paint is just flaking off. And when someone is like, oh yeah, they've just got to take a computer. They'll take a swatch of your paint. They'll just match it. It'll be fine. Like instinctively, I'm like, there's no way that is possible. Like there's 0% chance that will work correctly. And
that's how they do it.
And it worked amazingly. It was perfect. Like, Carrie painted the railings on the front stoop, and we should have done it years ago because it looks incredible. And so I guess it's up to the computer's got to be calibrated. You need the right person who knows how to operate the machine. They'll suggest with you the right, you know, base paint and everything else. There's a lot of things that have to come together to make that work. But holy crap, if everything worked as smooth as that process went, it was incredible. And so now it's hard to, like, not keep painting the house because it just looks right. It just matches everything. And so that's what we've been doing.
If only that process was as smooth as connecting a website, WordPress site with Calypso, I'd be pretty happy.
So that's my life tip of the week is occasionally you can match a paint color.
This segment is sponsored by Home and Garden Television. Just kidding.
Do you guys have steins? Is that a garden place by you? No, steins.
No, we don't have steins.
It's got to be a nationwide sponsor, right? We can't pick some regional sponsor. Right.
Home Depot. I'm getting out of here.
Menards.
We do have a Menards actually. Menards is like three Home Depots and Lowe's and IKEA and everything else into one.
It's like that's exactly what it's like.
Kind of crazy.
Like, you can buy plywood and like Skittles.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrZero. And John?
JJJ.blog.
And you can't find John on Facebook anymore because he's deleted. He deleted his Facebook profile.
That's a whole other thing.
We'll get on to that. We'll talk a little bit about that maybe next week. Until then,
all right.
Enjoy the deconstruction of whatever it is you got going on there. And we'll talk again.
I will.
Say bye, Jim.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.